Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining me this week. My quote today is actually a clip from a song by Pink Floyd, and I know you're all going to know it. And here are some of the lyrics. Money, get away. Get a good job with more pay, and you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. Money, get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me that do-goody-goody ball bleep. And so the song goes on.
Money!
You know, money, it's been the topic of, again, many songs over the decades, and people are obsessed with getting their hands on more money. So why do so many people struggle to thrive financially? So ask yourself, do you have money issues that may be getting in the way of your financial and even business success? And wouldn't you know if you had such issues? You would think, right? The reality is most of us do have money issues, stories and patterns that are on repeat. So what do we do to stop the madness and grab the cash with both hands and make a stash? Stay tuned as my guest unravels our psychological money dynamics that may actually be getting in the way of us having financial and business success. My guest today is Lorianne Reeves. Now, Lorianne is a sales and business strategist, professional psychotherapist, speaker and writer, and premier success coach. Business and entrepreneurs hire Lorianne to connect, capture, and close business by working with them to sell confidently and with authority. She also helps them with the psychological money dynamics that can actually get in the way of their financial and business success. As an entrepreneur for over 20 years, Lorianne helps to lead sales teams for major events and consults with corporations to enhance team dynamics. Her clients can range from solo entrepreneurs to Fortune 500 companies to understand how a business model, sales, and marketing plans all align to work together for growth, profit, and sustainability in business. So please help me welcome Lorianne to the show. So Lorianne, thanks so much for being on.
Oh, Connie, thank you for the invite. I'm excited to be here and talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Money, right? Money.
Money. Yeah.
Did you like my choice of the Pink Floyd song?
I loved it. I was giggling. I was like, this is perfect. You did a great job.
It's, you know, I usually pick a quote, but sometimes it's just more fun and kind of a switch to have the lyrics. So I just wanted to have a little fun with, again, the topic of money, because we're so serious about money. So as a coach, what do you find are the biggest obstacles to businesses and even entrepreneurs in growing their business?
Well, the number one thing is they don't want to embrace the idea that they have to bring in sales and that sales equals money in their bank account. They get so distracted by thinking if they just do the marketing piece that they build it and they will come isn't working for them, but they keep over and over again finding other distractions. So for me, I want to just say right up front, I think marketing is very important, but it's not 90% marketing and 10% sales. They have to work in tandem, and people will actually go, oh, I'll just go do a podcast now, or I'll just go ahead and do Facebook Lives. And sales and money are one of the three fundamentals of business, and people are not embracing that. And it is causing entrepreneurs to shut down day after day after day because they don't have cash flow.
Yeah, and the reality is that sales is really the most important component of the business, right? And that should be where we're spending most of our time. Why do you think people are just so reluctant to the whole selling process?
Well, I think culturally we have a lot of dynamics going on in the United States, and we've got some cultural things that happen. First of all, there's so many money stories, and if you think about it, just take it in the home. When someone buys something and says to the, and when the other person says, oh, is that new? Oh, no, I've had it for a while. There are ways we actually talk about money that are not beneficial to us. And let's just take a corporation. You're never supposed to talk about how much people are actually making. Did you get a raise? No, I didn't get a raise. I mean, everything is kind of secretive. And when I had my clinical practice, I always liked telling this story, is that people would, before I sold it, people would actually tell me, you know, their darkest secrets. But if I ever asked the question, so tell me how you guys handle money, or if it was an individual, there'd be dead silence. Money is like the last subject anyone wants to talk about, because we lie to ourselves about money. That's one of the problems.
Which is, I'm cracking up because as a psychologist, I bet that you heard about sexual issues, right? Physical ailments, like really absolutely deep, deep stuff. Yes. And then you ask about money and you hear crickets. That's hysterical.
It is. So who's beating up who? Who's cheating on who? Whose kids aren't behaving properly? I mean, I can meet someone, and in 2 minutes, they're telling me their sad story. But it takes me several sessions as a business strategist and sales coach to actually get them to tell me the truth about what's really going or happening in their business around money.
And the truth is, Lorianne, right, that people have their money stories, money issues, repeat patterns that we could actually have learned from when we were kids, from hearing our parents talk about money.
Absolutely. It's, to me, it's multi-generational. You know, part of me was really lucky. I had entrepreneur grandparents, three
wow.
out of four.
Wow.
But I had parents that thought every day about money. So I had this double track of family money stories going on that I had to really get a hold of when I first became an entrepreneur, because it was sabotaging myself. I was sabotaging myself. So we have to kind of go back sometimes and look at those, because they really run our minds and our thoughts. And that, of course, turns into action. And the action isn't supporting us for a sustainable business.
Yeah. And I think, right, Lorianne, sometimes those, like you said, you have to do action, sales, whatever. But mm-hmm. sometimes they're the subconscious or the unconscious piece of us, of those old money stories that we learned as kids. Like you said, your parents fighting about mm-hmm. money all the time.
Right.
That can debilitate us. And we don't even realize it, because it's
oh, no.
on the subconscious level.
Totally unconscious. People say, you know, I don't have money stories. And I go, is your bank account full? Is your calendar full? If you say no to me, then something is going on. Either you don't are not having the proper marketing and sales strategy to run your business, and it's technique, or it's psychological. Usually it's both when I meet
yeah.
people.
Yeah, I bet it's a combination. And sometimes people just, I think in business, right, we know what we know about our business, but actually running a business to get the information out there, like you and I were talking before with the technology, right, that's definitely not our strength. But
right.
as a business owner, we certainly need to be aware and hire the right people, because we have so many blind spots. So I think that's the same on many different topics when we talk about business. What I want to jump back for a second. So what can you share with us? What is sales psychology, or what does that look like?
Okay, so for me, sales is a combination of things. It's not only structure and strategy, it's energy and rhythm, it's leads and numbers, it's money psychology, it's your psychology, and there's psychology around who the seller is and who the buyer is. And all of those things run together. Sometimes you're emphasizing more one than the other, but sales psychology is your ability to see yourself clearly in your business and knowing that you're comfortable taking someone through a sales conversation, and that you on the underneath part, besides talking about strategy and how you can help them, that you're recognizing what's coming up for yourself and what's coming up for the other person, so you can pull those things either out of the way, or if they're supporting you, emphasize them to close a sale.
And that, you know, think about that. That is not an easy thing, right? So now underneath we have these money stories that we might not even realize. Then we're mm-hmm. uncomfortable in the sales process we're great at describing our business, but then to actually ask for the business, right, or to close the sale
right.
is where we kind of we can't get out of our own way. So how do you, yeah, and I totally understand mm-hmm. that. And I just share a real quick story. You know, I've done sales for 35 years in the financial service industry. Mm-hmm. So it's selling intangible to boot, right? It's easier to sell a copy or computer than something that's intangible. But I was on, I again, to learn more marketing, because that was clearly one of my blind spots in business. Over Christmas for 10 weeks, I did an online, real intense class about marketing. And we had these weekly, or actually twice a week, these calls where everybody was on a Zoom meeting. And there was about 50 of us in our group. And every time that they were talking about an issue, because we had to get out and do what was called the chatterbox campaign. All that meant was get out, network, try to get speaking gigs, you know, that kind of thing to promote our business. And as soon as we got to that part of the marketing program and we were on the meeting, everybody was like, oh, I don't know what to say. Oh, my God, how do I sell? So I cracked up, and the coach that we had who was facilitating, I unmuted my mic and I said to him, Rona, can I just interrupt? And I said, I'm getting confused why everybody is so hung up on the sales thing. You know, you know what you have to offer. Why don't you just have a conversation? Because really that's what sales is, right, is a conversation. They and they all scheduled a private session with me for me to help them translate what they do into how do I ask for the business. And it was funny because I thought it was such an easy concept, but this is, you're onto something, because it's not, it's really not easy for a lot of people, and or a lot of people are drawn to sales, they're good at it. But when you start a business or all of a sudden you're running a department in a corporation and the numbers become an active part of how we're measured on success, we need to be able to help people navigate the sales, you know, part of it. So how do you get folks to get out of their own way when it comes to money, you know?
Right. So I just kind of fundamentally, so everyone knows, is there are three fundamentals for me in business. One is, what problem do you solve? And most people know that. The second piece is, what is your clear and compelling message? So when you are in a sales conversation, people hear you. And I'll go through this a little bit more. And then the third one is sales. I tell people all the time, if you know how to do those three, all you need is a one-page website and a little bit of social media. And if you're not afraid to have a conversation and you are really good at what you do, you can get to the $100,000 mark without a lot of bells and whistles. The problem becomes when you're selling for yourself. This is the difference. When you're selling for other people, so there are two layers. People do not want to sell at all. People that have sales experience, but they've sold in a corporation or for other people, it's easier for them to do that. Now you've got to sell for yourself. Most entrepreneurs know what they want to do, what they want to put out there, are passionate about it, and they sound confident. But when you sell for yourself, it taps into your self-worth issues. And a lot of people cannot justify internally on an unconscious level what they're charging. And so it shows up in the conversation. They hesitate. I tell you, the worst question someone has to answer is, how much do you charge? Anytime I talk about that in a speech or a talk or a keynote, there's snickering in the audience, because they know in that moment they freeze. And the minute you say, you hesitate, you lower your prices or anything, you have just lowered your self-worth. The other person doesn't actually know what's going on, but they know energetically something just happened. And so they say no. You could be the best thing since sliced bread, but because you couldn't answer with confidence and total self-worth, that person says no.
And it's funny, because I think when we're good at something, we think, well, everybody's good at this, right? When we have that natural kind of skill. So we, and I'm sure we undervalue ourselves again because of all those psychological components as well. Right. But I think that that's what happens. Like, well, isn't everybody good at this? So what's the big deal? How can I charge whatever it is? Do you recommend that people have like a price sheet? So when someone says, hey, what, you know, what is the cost of this? You say, well, I have different packages and I have a cost sheet. I'm happy to share that with you now. Or if you're doing a Zoom meeting or something like that, more virtual, because now we're in a global society, you know what, I can email that price sheet to you. Do you recommend that? Or,
well, it depends what the industry is. If it's more of a thought leader, consultant, coach, strategist, you want to have that price talk on the phone, because people buy, or on the phone or in person or Skype or whatever, people buy from their heart and justify with their mind. Mm-hmm. And so you have to walk them through the piece around how this investment will actually give them whatever they want at the end, whatever the end result is. So you have to do that first before you talk about the price, because Absolutely. Otherwise, if you just say the price, they're going to go to the cheapest one, and you might have been the right person. Now, I always tell folks that they really need to make sure, as they're about to discuss the pricing, that you have already said this is a person you can help, authentically help, and that you can do a really good job. Because if you are just pricing out to everybody, that will bite you later in bad clients not paying you. So before you say your pricing, you really need to know that that's the right kind of client. And the other piece, a confused mind never buys. So only one price, one package, until you hear what the response is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. And people do buy on emotion. So you mm-hmm. really want to, when you're having the conversation, right, in sales, you do want to take them on that journey of, you know, this is where you are. This is mm-hmm. where you're telling me you need to be. Here's the gap. Here's how I can help close that gap. And then once they're like, yeah, that's when they say, well, how much is this going to cost me? You have to be able to respond confidently because you know your pricing is spot on and fair and whatever. Right. We do. We definitely, I think, as humans, we just tend to undervalue ourselves. Let's take a really quick break, Lorianne. And then when we come back, you know, I love the whole psychological concept. So I want to talk about, I know you have top psychological money dynamics that you discuss. So if we could talk about that a little bit, I think this conversation will make even more sense for the listeners.
Okay.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
And we are back. We're speaking with Lorianne Reeves, and we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, money. And we're really, 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 we're talking about how to engage your buyer, whoever that is, whether you're an entrepreneur or a person in a sales position in a corporation. Mm-hmm. But how do we confidently promote what we're doing? And then at the end, it's really asking for the business with confidence so that the person doesn't feel like you're getting uncomfortable, right? So what are some of the psychological money dynamics that you have found through your career that actually get in the way of sales?
Well, the number one is the self-worth piece. It's totally something that people say to me, but I'm confident and blah, 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 and I've got this great business, and yet they're making under $100,000 or under $50,000. And so that's usually a self-worth issue. The second one that I see a lot is that people don't want to bother people. So their mm-hmm. follow-up, I'll just say it sucks. The money is in the follow-up, everyone. Sometimes people need a little time to make this decision, especially if you're charging something around anywhere from $3,000 and $10,000, $25,000 to a solo entrepreneur. They need some time to not just think about it, but to see how that investment can pay off for them. So follow-up is extremely important. But what people say, well, I don't want to bother them. So that is, again, that's lack of confidence. The third one I see a lot is I don't want to be that used car salesman. And I really feel bad for the used car people because I bought a used car. My guy was great. And
me too.
Had this concept of pushy, shoving it down your throat, and they've taken that story on, and they don't want to be that. So by not being that, they do complete opposite and don't do anything. And the other piece, there are probably two other pieces that One's my rant, and the other one is they just don't think it's important because social media has taught us all about the relationship. And so when I talk to people about sales, I talk to them in sequence about you need to connect with people. 90% of the people, especially women, stay in the connect piece. As long as I develop the relationship, they will buy from me. No, or else you would have a full bank account. The second stage is capture. There you have to capture the right kind of information, and so you can be that big problem solver for them. But in that moment where you're, this is also where your clear and compelling message shows up even more, so you have to have your voice of inspiration. And that is the ability to move people, to motivate people to want to say, oh, yeah, I want to hear more. Once you hear that, then you can have the sales conversation. But people stay in the relationship piece. And then the last piece that I think is pervasive throughout the entrepreneur industry in general is that they're selling us programs that dive into our fear. This is what I mean by that. They will say, well, I have a client enrollment program. Okay, that's a nice fancy word, but it's a way to not say the word sales. So people are not afraid. So here's what's happening. They are feeding into your fear, and the only one making money is them. And it is a pet peeve of mine, Connie, and I could go on and on about it, and because we're not embracing that four-letter word. That's not a bad word. It is a fundamental of business, and the industry has played into our fear. So I don't know how you follow, whether it's the universe or God, but they don't say work in your fear, believe in your fear. They want you out of that. And yet the industry has propelled us into thinking that we won't talk about sales. Everything else will work. And it's a big, huge problem.
And it's so funny. I have clients that I teach sales, right? That's what I do for a living. And I remember when I first started my business, and this made me chuckle, went into the client and they said to me, yeah, our people are really afraid of sales. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking, well, okay, that's why you're hiring me. But okay, I totally get it. It's a new culture you're developing. The industry had shifted. You know, this is 17 years ago. Right. And so when I came up with the program, whatever it was, sales progress or whatever it was, whatever I named the program, she calls me and she said, can we call it something other than sales, whatever? And I said, but that's what we're doing. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, can we call it service? And I'm like, listen, I cracked up. And it was the first time I Laureate, I was stunned. I said, listen, if you feel more comfortable with the title of service on the back, on the front of the manual, let's do that. But throughout the entire manual, all of the teaching, it was sales. So it just struck me funny because I thought we could label it in the front. Once we get into the depths of the teaching, right, of how to accomplish this, we're talking about sales. So it just, and it was funny because the people in the class were like, oh, so this is really a sales class.
I know. And you got to call it what it is, Connie. You got to call it what it is. The funny, I want to touch on something you said, the word service. And this is for the women entrepreneurs out there because this happens more there. Men do it a little differently. They say, I just want to serve. And they have almost put, when they say that, what they're saying is, I want to serve. And I don't want to make money. So the only thing I want to do. So here's my movement, my mission. I just put a email blast out for my tribe. And I said, yes, and yes, you need to serve at the highest level and you need to make money. So that is kind of my theme for the rest of the year and into 2019. Yes, and for my people to be at the highest end, of course, I want you to be the best at who you are, but you're going to also make money because it's not either or, it's both.
Well, the funny thing is, if we serve well, meaning that we truly give the best of ourselves every time we're with a client, and you should show up, right? They're paying
Absolutely.
You, show up. So if you really do serve them with the best of who you are and what you have to offer, and you're a right fit for the client, you should get paid for that. Why is it? You're right. It's not an
either or.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny? Years ago, when I was first starting my business, so you know when you're starting out, right? You're trying to build your network and all those things. And there was one company I did not like the CEO. I didn't like. didn't like how he treated the employees. I didn't like his mantra. He was trying to say that he had trained them in sales because he wanted to sell the business and he wanted to make more money. So the whole premise of bringing me in was dirty to me. I can't explain it.
And I get it.
Yeah. And I remember coming home and say, it wasn't a huge contract, but it was pretty big at the time for me. And I said to my husband, I don't want the business. And it just doesn't feel right to me. And I'm not going to be able to be authentic and fair with these people. And, you know, my husband always trusts me. And he says, you know, it's your business. You have to be true to yourself. And I walked away from that business. So I also think that, you know, and I say this to my clients, you can interview me as much as you want, but I'm interviewing you at the same time.
Because I tell my clients all the time. We choose each other.
Yeah. Because philosophically, Lorianne, if we're not a match, it's not going to work and it's not going to be a success. And then my name out there is mud that, it didn't work because it wasn't the right match. So, yes, we're there to serve and it has to resonate on both sides. And you said it before that it's got to be a win-win. Win for us, certainly, but it's got to be a win for the client that they're going to come out the other end more profitable, whatever that means for them. So, I agree. I agree with everything you're saying. Serve and make money because otherwise, you're a priest.
If you don't serve and make money, your pricing, your business, how much you're making is a calling card to the world on how you value yourself. Now, of course, we have the other end people that can't give anything and charge millions of dollars, and but they eventually get figured out.
Yeah.
But if you charge so little, your calling card to the world is, I'm not good enough, so why should you hire me?
That's right.
That's really what you're saying to the world. And so I always teach my clients that we got to get this piece out of the way, and then we can raise your prices. I tell people all the time, you're raising your prices when your energy is better for you, that your energy has increased. That lets me know that you can hold that pricing, that you can say it with confidence, and you can say it with your own authority. Very important that energy piece also be in there.
It's true. And I had a guest a couple of months back, and we were talking about, he was an entrepreneur, we're talking about business, and he said, you know, everybody laughs at me because he charges quite a bit for whatever coaching he does. And he said, you know, people are like, what? Like you, and he says, I didn't start out charging this. Like, you know, he said, you have to grow into through your resources, through your own ability as they grow, through the results that you can tout and substantiate with. That's how you can escalate your prices. You don't go from $10 an hour to $1 million an hour, you know? And that's the other thing I think people, I need to charge more. Yes, but you can't go from $100 to $5,000 a day. So, right, you have to learn how to escalate and grow. And I think the confidence and energy is really important, what you just said. Talk to me about how you think entrepreneurs are missing the financial freedom that they can have beyond all of this money issues?
Well, financial freedom to me, and I mean, most people want to get to $1 million, but whatever your version is of $1 million or $5 million, it doesn't have to be exactly that. But the financial freedom to me is about something happens in your family and you have the money to take care of that for them because you truly love them. Financial freedom is going, not working 60 to 80 hours every week and say, you know, I'm going on vacation by myself or I'm taking my family. Financial freedom is always knowing that you can make more money no matter what happens. What we do is we kind of think about financial freedom, the way we get it, the way we're taught is to save every penny. And when I say this, people think, oh, she doesn't want people to save. That is not true. But what we do, we think that, okay, so we're going to save and we're going to cut back. That's how we're going to get financial freedom. That, if you do that exclusively, that puts you in a box. If you're an entrepreneur, you need to be able to say, yes, I'm saving here. I want profit. Yes, I'm watching my costs, but I want to go live in Europe for 6 months. What I'm going to do now is what's it going to take and how much many more clients do I need? I'm going to make more money. That's financial freedom. Having the know-how to actually make more money when it's necessary. Rich people do that. They don't say, oh, I'll cut back. They say, you know, what real estate can I buy or how can I leverage and whatever it is. So entrepreneurs need to know, yes, you have to have good money habits and I'm all for that. But financial freedom is about saying, yes, I'll just put this program out or I'll call this person and I'll sell that. because that's a good fit. And now I have more financial freedom. That's the twist in your mindset that needs to happen in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that is so well said. I don't know if you, did you ever see Jim Rohn speak? He's just brilliant.
Yes.
Yes.
He is.
And
he
there
is
was one that I saw a video of him speaking, and he was saying that initially start saving. The idea was to create financial freedom, right? So he said,
right.
Start saving whatever you can, whether mm-hmm. it's $1 a month or $100 a month, doesn't matter. Just start to get into that habit of saving.
Right.
And he said, so if you can save 0.1% of your income right now because you have heavy debt, do 0.1%, and then go to 1%, and then go to 10%. And he says, and what you want to eventually do is save 10%, charitable 10%, live off of 80%. That's his. Yeah. That was his initial thing. And he says, and eventually what you want to end up doing is living off of the 10% and saving or giving the other 90% of the time. So
absolutely.
When he said that, I was like, yes, that's financial freedom, where you have so much money in the bank, real estate. And that's the other thing he talks about, right? Having your money work for you with assets like real estate and rental properties and stuff like
yes.
that, as well as stocks, bonds, and what have you.
Yes.
And I thought, yeah, you have this nest egg that you only need to live off 10%, and the rest of the money is working. And his point was, so now instead of giving $10 to charity, because you do have so much money coming in and reinforcing, growing every day, you can give $1 million, $2 million, $10 million
right.
to charity.
Right.
And what an interesting way he started, from saving 0.1% to living off of 10% of your income. And that's really that financial freedom that you said so beautifully
yes.
couple of minutes ago. Yeah.
Yes. And so my people, you know, most of my people come to me when they really want to reach, they're really serious about reaching that $1 million mark. They want to get to seven figures. And I think abundance thinking is important. I love Jim, what he said. Also, the other piece I like, a lot of people put everything back into their business. Even if it's $1 a week, I think you should pay yourself also.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's also about positioning your business to possibly sell at some point. That is another piece of financial freedom. Most people shut their businesses down. Over the last 20 years, I've sold two. And it was enlightening for me the first time I did it, getting that big bundle of cash.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. People don't think about that. So even from today, if you're just starting, the goal is to either give it to the next generation and grow it more, or to sell it and have those two options. That is financial freedom also.
Absolutely. Well said. Can you just, we're out of time, but just
yeah.
really quick, can you leave us with wisdom that you share so people can start really to take care of this problem personally mm-hmm. right after listening to the show?
Okay. So the first thing I want you guys to really do is to make a list of everything. Every time you have to interact with money, is to make a list of how you just felt. Like if you're writing a bill and you go, oh, crap, I'm doing this again. That is a negative thought. And then just keep a long running list. And what's going to happen is you're going to see the pattern that is really showing you what you need to take care of. The second piece is the psychology piece around sales and money. You can't do that by yourself. I know a lot of coaches say that, but I'm just going to tell you, it's hard to see ourselves clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see yourself clearly, get some help with this, and you learn how to sell and how to do it well for yourself and in your industry by being your best, boldest self. And if I can leave you guys with that, I think that would be helpful.
You know, people hear podcasts like this, or they read a book and they think, oh, I can do this.
Right.
You know, and here I'm laughing because I've done that. I'm like, oh, I can do that. And then you go and attempt it and you think, I can't do that.
I usually can do the strategy.
Yes.
Kind of, but they can't do all the other pieces by themselves. And that's what makes them fail at sales and money.
Yes. So. Yes. It's really true. I crack up. I love when my clients, the employees, will say to me, they'll have something happen and with a client, and they'll, whatever they'll say, how they'll respond to an objection or how they presented whatever a certain product is, and they'll email me and they'll go, you know what just happened? And then they say whatever they said in quotes, and they go, I sounded like Connie Whitman. And I giggle. It's such a nice compliment, right? But I giggle.
It is.
And not that they sounded like me, because, you know, I can't sound like you. You can't sound like me. But the phraseology that I taught them, or how to position it, all of a sudden they were comfortable after learning it. And I tell them, you got to practice it and practice it and practice it. And then all of a sudden it comes out of their mouth authentically because they believe what they're saying. And then they say, oh my God, it resonated with the customer. And I thought that was Connie Whitman coming out of me, you know?
So what would Connie say?
What would
Lorianne say to me in this moment?
That's what's needed. Yes. Understanding and executing are two very different things. So I really agree that understanding, people are listening, changing it is the hard piece, and that they do need someone to guide them, someone like yourself, or if it's a corporate level, you know, someone like me, right? It's
absolutely
needed, and not that we're plugging ourselves. We are, but we're not.
I can help them. This is the thing all the time. I know I can help you, and I can hold that space for you until you believe it yourself.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we believe it. They need to believe it. So thank you so much. I really hope that we gave enough information, Lorianne, and some of your insight with the psychology piece was so spot on. But I hope we gave people enough to say, make my list. That's a good way for me to see my patterns unfold.
Right.
And again, just to shine a light so that people could start to dig in. Because if you don't even understand where your issue is, it's hard to find the remedy. So I love that. I hope people start thinking, you don't think you have money issues. You got money issues. We all got money issues, right?
We all do.
Ancestral.
So with that pattern, the thing that a lot of people say, money mantras. But once you know your pattern, you want to redo your mantras based on what your issue really is.
Correct.
That's why I have people do this all the time. So it's twofold. You can get your mind going around this. But, you know, I still believe most people need help in this area like you do.
Yeah. No, I agree. You're definitely spot on. So if you're interested and you think, I need to talk to Lorianne, go to her website. It's www.lorianreeves.com, and Lori is LORIANNE, and then Reeves is REEVES.com, and her email is lorianne@lorianreeves.com. No worries. I will post it on the Enlightenment of Change Web Talk Radio website for you guys to backlink and find her. Also, my partner and I are still offering our free communication style assessment. Get some insight into how you show up in others and how others see you with how you communicate. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com. Right on that landing page, you get your free assessment. If you have questions for me directly, always reach out to me at my email at connie@whitmanassoc.com. I do respond to them personally. Lorianne, thank you so much again for taking the time and being on.
Oh, thanks, Connie. I appreciated it.
Oh, truly my pleasure. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and we can realize that we've got this, guys. It's not so hard. Thanks again, Lorianne, and thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much, everyone, and have an inspired week. And write your list of your money issues. Start to get a handle on that and be inspired to have those sales conversations with your clients. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.